This podcast is brought to you by Invoca, the platform that connects your marketing spend to the revenue it drives. In today's complex buying journeys, tracking results across online and offline touchpoints isn't just a challenge, it's critical to your success. Invoca uses AI to connect your campaigns with 100% of the revenue they generate, so you can confidently invest in what works and optimize what doesn't. Join brands like DirecTV and AutoNation and start turning AI-driven insights into revenue growth. Learn more at Invoca.com. Hi, Jean. Thanks so much for joining us on CMO Convo today.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, it's a pleasure, definitely. Before we get started, I think our audience would just love to hear a little bit more about you, your current role, and your organization itself and your role within that organization.
I am a marketer by trade. I've worked in marketing for 20 plus years with a focus on B2B marketing in the technology and telecom space. So I've been at Nokia for about 2 years now. Before that, I was at Oracle, and I've also worked for companies like Motorola and T-Mobile. So I love marketing. I love technology marketing. It's really a passion for me and something that I've dedicated the bulk of my career to. As for my current role, I am the chief marketing officer at Nokia in a business group that we call Cloud and Network Services. So Nokia, you know, many people think back to the 90s and the early 2000s and the Nokia phones, the snake game, all of that kind of thing when we were more of a consumer-focused company. So we exited that business, sold it quite a number of years ago. And Nokia today is all B2B focused, still on telecom, but instead of, you know, the phones, the mobile phones, we're all focused on the networks. So whether you are on your mobile phone or, you know, broadband at home, whatever, Nokia is involved in supplying the networks that make telecom work. So that's our business overall at Nokia today. We operate in 130 different countries around the world, and we're one of the market leaders, you know, in what we do. Very large company. And the part that I lead as CMO, Cloud and Network Services, is all about how those networks that Nokia provides, all of the software that helps automate those networks, secure those networks, monetize those networks, cloudify those networks. So it's a really exciting high growth area within Nokia. Aligns well with my own background in software and technology, and I think where a lot of the exciting innovation is happening in technology and in telecom today. So that's a little bit about me and what I do in the organization. As I mentioned, I'm chief marketing officer, which means I'm responsible for all of the marketing functions within cloud and network services. So that is everything from product marketing to campaign management, field marketing, all of the communications, so press, analysts, executive communications, employee communications, basically, you know, all of the functions of marketing for our business group. So.
Wow, yeah, it's such a wealth of experience. And, you know, it leads really well into what I was going to, what the main topic of our conversation is today, seeing, you know, how many different responsibilities you have, how many different roles you take on, which is kind of the role of the CMO in kind of fostering alignment within an organization. One of the hot topics we always hear about in LinkedIn in the marketing space is the kind of potentially like rift between marketing and other organizations in the company when marketing isn't aligned with other teams, with other departments. I was going to ask you, like, what does that look like at Nokia, and how do you ensure that that alignment, especially with your product teams, your sales teams, how do you ensure that happens?
Yeah. So I report to the president of our business group. So I sit on our executive leadership team with my counterparts who lead the sales organization, the product organization, the strategy organization, technology, finance, operations, all of that kind of thing. So I do spend a lot of time very focused on what are the overall objectives of our business and how can marketing help achieve those? So, I mean, my number one goal in marketing is to help my boss and our organization be successful. And that happens through the collaboration with my peers. As you had mentioned, the sales and product are particularly important in the role that I'm in, you know, B2B tech marketing. So on the product side, my product marketing team works very closely with product management. And the role of marketing there is really to extract the differentiation. So what are, you know, the technical differentiation factors? What are the business factors? How do we quantify those benefits to customers? And to translate all of the great technology that our product organization produces into the value proposition messaging and bring that to our customers. So that is, you know, how we work very closely with the product organization, and it's reciprocal as well. So we, you know, we get the information from them about where our products are going and, you know, make that sort of interesting to our customers. And then we interact quite a lot with customers as well. You know, we present demos to customers, we do presentations with customers, and through that process, we get some very good insights, you know, questions about why is this demo flowing this way? Why do you go from this screen to this screen? What can we do differently with this field? So we get that kind of insight from our customers that we bring back to our product organization and provide those insights that they can use in their roadmap planning to kind of create that virtuous cycle. So that's really important on the product side. On the sales side, you know, sales and marketing are an absolutely crucial relationship, of course. And I really feel that the reason marketing exists in general is to help the organization grow and drive revenue, which, you know, happens through sales. So I heard an analogy years ago about marketing being almost like a silent salesperson, providing that reach that, you know, salespeople can't talk to everybody all the time. But through marketing, we can build a brand, we can use digital channels, we can build awareness, we can create that preference for Nokia so that when our salespeople are out, you know, engaging directly with customers, the customers are already predisposed to understand our value proposition and hopefully purchase from us. So that's, you know, a really tight alignment on the B2B side as well, where we operate. Target accounts are very important. So we work closely between marketing and sales on, you know, what are the accounts where we expect to have a lot of activity this quarter, this half year, and how do we make sure that our marketing efforts are supporting what we're looking to achieve together with our biggest or our most important accounts. And within, you know, my team, it's mainly field marketing and campaign management that work very closely on, you know, that alignment with sales, designing the digital journeys that help reach the right customers that we want to reach at the right times with the right messages. So it's a very close collaboration, you know, with all of my peers, but in particular, the relationship between marketing and product and marketing and sales is probably the most important and strategic relationships that I have as a CMO.
That's great to hear. Yeah. It sounds like it's something, you know, that's really been taken very seriously as well, and really, you know, like really factored into to your kind of leadership strategy. So with something as kind of highly technical as cloud computing, what are the kind of unique challenges that someone might face in terms of, again, you know, kind of, aligning an organization and guiding them towards, you know, a shared vision? What kind of challenges might you face in an organization such as that, in a company such as that?
Yes. So the space that we operate in, cloud and network services, you know, for the telecom industry is very quickly changing all the time. The rates of change are incredibly quick. So, you know, everything from, you know, cybersecurity and telecom networks, where the threats are coming from, obviously AI and Gen AI and how those impact telecom networks, tremendous amount of innovation and a large amount of R&D investment that we at Nokia, you know, in my business group, as well as across the company, organizations like Bell Labs that are part of Nokia, you know, we put a lot of investment into all of that technology, and it's changing so quickly. So what that means from a marketing perspective is that I need a mix of skill sets in my team. I need people who are very technical, and I have people who have been, you know, engineers themselves, product managers themselves, who can talk that talk and understand it. And again, like we said before, translate that into a customer-facing value proposition. So, you know, as technology rapidly changes, we need people who keep up on that technology. And we need to balance that with kind of the creative lens. I have people on my team who are, you know, very creative graphic designers who can take a new concept that's emerging in the cloud network services space and visualize that in a way that's just unforgettable. So, you know, it's a mix of skill sets within my team, and also with as rapidly as things are changing, we commit a lot to professional development. So that means not just keeping people updated on what's the difference between 4G, 5G, what will 6G mean, that kind of development, but also making sure that we're fostering a mindset of learning and experimentation. I have a plaque on my desk, everyone in my team knows, that says, I am still learning Michelangelo. And I feel like, you know, despite the extreme proficiency a lot of people in the organization have, we have to be very focused in this field on continuous learning. So once a month in my team, we host something that we call Open Thinking Club, where everyone's invited. Sometimes it is a technical topic, you know, something about AI, for example, but sometimes it's something like, how do you keep a growth mindset? How do you improve your wellness so that you're creative? So I think when you're in a really fast changing environment, it's critical to have not just the path towards continued technical excellence, but also a path towards innovation and experimentation and making sure that marketing stays really fresh.
Yeah, 100%. And I love the innovation and experimentation. I think that in a nutshell kind of, you know, that encapsulates what we should all be doing, doesn't it, going forward in marketing leadership roles, 100%.
Yeah.
So in sort of a, you know, a driving collaboration then in a kind of more, in a complex ecosystem like this, how do you ensure that marketing aligns with the broader company strategy? And how do you ensure that everyone's on board with this?
Yeah, it's a great question. And it's a common one. I've worked for, you know, many large multinational companies. Same thing at Nokia, multiple business groups. So our setup at Nokia is we have four business groups. I'm in one of them, the CMO of one of them, as well as central functions and Bell Labs, for example. And so the way we have it set up at Nokia is that marketing is placed close to the sales and the products within the business group for all the reasons that I described before. Those are really key relationships and partnerships for marketing to add the most possible value. And then we have brand and corporate communications that are central functions that span the entire organization. So as you said, it's a kind of a larger organizational framework. We have a lot of collaboration. I meet every week with the CMOs of the other business groups, as well as with you know, our corporate counterparts. And I think the balance that we try to hit is that we have to have a lot of collaboration between us so that we're telling bigger stories, more integrated stories, and show up to our customers as one Nokia. So it doesn't seem like we're very, very siloed. So we need to be in marketing close enough to the technology and sales and the customers to have that richness of the message and the understanding of the business and the objectives of our specific business group, but also have those partnerships to up-level it and make sure that we're telling really impactful stories across the whole business. So that's kind of how we align and how we try and hit that balance in a very large corporation between, you know, the various marketing and communications functions.
Mm-hmm. That's great to hear. Yeah, thank you for that. And in terms of, like, you know, I think one of the challenges that people often have is kind of, you know, ensuring that everyone is sort of on board with the vision of what the company is. I mean, how do you communicate that and how do you ensure that that's kind of consistent at all times?
Yes. So, I mean, that is a key contribution, I think, of my role. And I think marketing is best placed to articulate that. So something that I do is, you know, I spend a lot of time, as I mentioned, understanding the business, our strategy, our customers, our products, our differentiation. And then I articulate that into the main themes, you know, how we are having a vision of the future of telecom, the future of autonomous networks, how we can help our customers monetize these networks, run more efficiently, and the main themes around that, which are around, you know, cloud and automation and AI and that kind of thing. So the way I approach that is I create I do this and then update it once a year, like a one-page narrative that is our story, our vision, you know, the main things that we want to be discussing. And then I get alignment from, you know, my boss, my counterparts on that. And then that vision and that messaging becomes the basis for the messaging that we use at our events, in our campaigns. When my boss, who's our president, gives a presentation, it's all consistently referring back to the same vision and, you know, messaging and the value proposition that we deliver. So I think that's a key contribution of marketing. We all know that we need to hear some similar themes over and over again for them to really resonate. So if we can create that clarity of vision and of message and basically, you know, use that very consistently, I think that helps our audiences to really understand and internalize the value that we create. So that creating that vision and then sharing it and disseminating it throughout the organization, I think, is a really important role of any CMO, but particularly in a very complex high-tech business like ours.
Yeah, it's a difficult one, isn't it, brand? I think, you know, in the past, it's been kind of difficult for people to kind of, quantify its the success of, you know, whether your brand has become, you know, kind of synonymous with a certain idea or a certain thing or how people talk about it. I just want to know, like, this is a kind of a little bonus question in a way, but like, what does success look like in terms of, for you, in terms of like what you want your brand to be? What does that look like in terms of like the conversations people are having? Like, what would you like people to be saying about a Nokia, for example, or, you know, what's the kind of the ideal almost?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes. So we have, I think, a pretty clearly articulated value proposition, and the proof of whether that's working is whether that's how our customers talk about us. You know, have they heard that? Have they internalized it? The ways that we see that come back, some are quantitative, some are more qualitative. Of course, we do, you know, annuals kind of voice of customer surveys where we're getting a lot of data from our primary customers of how they see us, what they value, what, you know, what our reputation is in the market. We do something similar in the B2B technology world. Industry analysts are very important. So the likes of Omdia, Forrester, Appledore, and Alsace Mason. So we do a quantitative survey with them as well, and qualitative, to see how does the industry, you know, absorb our value proposition? Is it resonating? Are people hearing it and internalizing it? But then we also, of course, put a lot of emphasis on customer advocacy and creating opportunities for customers through the Nokia marketing channels to tell their stories of success. You know, how have they, in partnership with us, generated new revenue from their networks, optimized how they're using their networks, figured out ways to launch new services faster, that kind of thing. So we do that at events, through videos, webinars, all of that. And the way they articulate that is a way that we can help understand, have they absorbed the value that we are looking to convey in our value proposition, in our vision, in our messaging. So I think there's a lot of good kind of give and take with our key audiences of our brand and our messaging to make sure that it's working. And then, of course, to continually tweak it and evolve it and make sure that we're addressing any shortcomings, any areas where we haven't quite hit the mark.
Yeah, I think you really hit the nail on the head with the kind of, you know, customer advocacy and customer testimonials. I think it's such a powerful tool for marketing leaders in particular. I think especially now in the current climate where, you know, I think people are maybe a little bit more savvy to kind of, you know, traditional kind of marketing speak or marketing strategies. And I think, you know, people really, one of the first things that people do, I think, when they're considering buying a product is look at the customer testimonials. You know, exactly. look at what people are saying on, you know, the review sites and things like that, Trustpilot, whatever it is. Yeah. So I think that is to harness that is not only a really powerful tool, but also a very kind of, you know, cost effective tool very often as well.
Right.
Isn't it? You know, it's a great way of, yeah, doing a lot, getting a lot of bang for your buck, you know, in a way. Yeah.
Right. And it's the authenticity that people are looking for these days. They want to hear from someone else who has walked down the path that they're about to walk down, you know, what worked, what didn't. And when we have customers speak, you know, at our events and that kind of thing, we always say, please share the lessons learned. You know, this isn't just meant to be you repeating our value proposition. It's how did this actually go for you? What surprised you? You know, what was the journey like? Because to your point, that's what other customers really want to hear. And our customers are best placed to really tell our story. That's where the credibility comes in. Mm-hmm.
Do you think people sometimes get a little bit too stuck on kind of describing features and maybe not actually describing tangible benefits almost? Like, how is it actually going to, you know, solve a problem in your life? Is that a thing that you've seen people get stuck on sometimes?
Yes, absolutely. Especially, you know, in such a technology-oriented environment that we're in, where, you know, the vast majority of our people, both our employees as well as our customers, are engineering types. You know, they are, you know, deeply schooled and experts in the technology that we use to run our business. And so it's important that we are able to explain the features, but that is not the lead of the conversation. The lead of the conversation should definitely be the benefits. So if, for example, we're talking to a factory about how we can help them in their process of digitizing, you know, their plant, we don't go in and say, we can put in a network with, you know, these types of technical characteristics. We will go in and say, we can help you better connect your workers. We can help you improve the safety of your workers. Mm-hmm. We can help you make sure that you're not losing inventory in your factory. We can help you with your sustainability objectives. And when we go in with those kinds of benefits, that's where we start the conversation. And then to your point, you know, features are important, but that should never be the beginning of the conversation. That's when you get further along the journey.
Yeah, definitely. Great. So now let's move on to the second phase. I wanted to talk to you a little bit about AI. I know it seems like a kind of thing that everyone wants to talk about now, but it, you know, it's exciting, obviously, isn't it? And especially the impact it's having on marketing. I want to know, you know, from your experience so far, your kind of journey with AI so far at Nokia, how have you used it kind of to enhance marketing strategies or to improve efficiency in your working practices within your company? What's been your experience with it so far?
Yeah. I think the bottom line is that it's a time saver for marketing when used well. But I'll tell you a little bit about what we've done in my organization to explore this and to adopt it more widely. So about a year and a half ago, I was selected as part of a Nokia, you know, executive development program to do this really exciting program. And it started off with a week in Silicon Valley, where some other folks from Nokia and I got to meet with a number of, you know, technology leaders and tour their offices, facilities, get presentations. And that was where I really got a deep dive into AI and Gen AI. And I came back to work, you know, very fired up about it and told my leadership team, like, we need to get this going, you know, much faster. So we created a program called AI Explorers, and it was kind of our early adopters. We had just a handful of five people from my team who spent 6 months evaluating like 11 different tools, 4 primary use cases, lots of experimentation. And they sort of served as a test group where we, you know, we learned a lot of what we thought could work well. But my organization is a lot bigger than that, and we wanted to get broader adoption and sort of decided to stimulate that with an approach that was kind of gamification oriented. And we used the paradigm of the Olympics, because the Olympics were going on in Paris. And so we timed this whole program that we called AI Olympics to sort of generate some buzz because of that. So this was something that was open to my whole organization. And then I also invited my peer CMOs of the other business groups to include their organizations as well. So it really became a cross Nokia program, this AI Olympics. And it ran during the course of the Paris Olympics. We kicked it off. We lit the torch during opening night. We kind of used, again, that metaphor. We created an Olympic village that was all about the resources, training on AI, discussion groups. And over the course of the Olympics, people could compete, you know, either individually or as a member of a team and create a use case. We had, you know, a lot of rules about what tools you could use, no performance enhancing drugs, that kind of thing. But we had this whole competition. And then my two of my peers, other CMOs, and I served as the judges, and we had like a podium finish where we chose the top 3 submissions across, you know, the whole organization, you know, did it sort of instead of medals, they got Nokia merchandise, you know, hoodies and that kind of thing. And then we had those 3 podium finishers give a presentation to, you know, my organization as well as the larger marketing organization so that people could sort of learn, you know, what did we experiment here? What worked well? What did we try that didn't work well? What are the learnings that can be applied, not just to this use case, but more broadly? So the 3 that were the winners, one was about web optimization. One was about customer user groups. As a B2B organization, we do a lot of customer user groups. We bring in, you know, several hundred customers for a few days. We do plenary sessions, demos, whatever. Those are a tremendous amount of work. And to my earlier point about how AI can be a big time saver, we found a lot of ways to summarize you know, like a plenary presentation. How do you create something very small and social friendly out of that? All of the customer data that we get, survey responses, you know, how do you synthesize that? So we did a lot of good work on something that takes a lot of our time with these user groups and how to streamline it with AI. And then the other podium finisher, the gold medal, was about competitive analysis of marketing campaigns. So how are we executing on our campaigns? What themes and what do we see going on more broadly in the market, and using AI to do some analysis on that. So so we've continued to build on that since the AI Olympics. But, you know, it's something I really believe is one of the most important things happening in marketing, you know, across every industry right now. So I'm very committed to making sure that my team has the tools and really like the drive to use it. And we try and make it very fun, very engaging. I know that people can feel threatened, you know, by Gen AI. Is it going to take my job? That kind of thing. But the message that I'm really trying to convey is it is a tool to make you more efficient, to take some of the things that are time suck and free you up to be more creative and to create more value for the business. So I think the messaging that people get from their leadership about the role that we expect AI to play in their day-to-day is really important, so that they feel excited and engaged and not threatened by it.
I love that. I love that you did the, you know, the AI Olympics is a great idea, especially since, like, you know, like you said, it is this scary thing, isn't it? For a lot of people anyway. You know, I've lost count of the amount of articles I've read over, you know, it's going to take, these people are going to lose their jobs and these people are going to lose their jobs and blah, 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 blah. You know, so to kind of really kind of gamify it like that, I think is a great way of demystifying it and also showing, you know, the kind of the fun of it almost, you know, what you can do with it. Because it is fun. Like, you know, I've had a lot of experiences, you know, with just experimenting with ChatGPT even, where just like, you know, just having fun when you realize the kind of how much you can actually do with it, you know, at times. It could be really, really good fun. So I love to hear about that. That's great.
Yes. Yeah. and just the rate of improvement. I mean, the underlying tools are, of course, getting better and better. And the more we all practice, if you write a prompt this way versus this way, it really impacts. I mean, that's the biggest determinant of what you get back. So, I mean, us as an organization learning how to write more specific prompts, you know, what kinds of prompts return what the best, the most usable response. That's a huge skill too. So it's the tools are getting better and we're becoming better users of them.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. So what about personalization then? What do you think, because people think of AI as being impersonal, but what do you think its potential is in maybe, you know, maximizing the kind of, you know, in terms of like kind of, I guess, you know, if you're crafting campaigns or something, crafting copy that's intended for customers, how can AI assist in personalization, do you think?
Yeah, and this is really kind of the next frontier of what we're looking to do, you know, in my team, is to do more personalization. The kinds of things we use it for so far, we're, of course, a global business. And there's a lot that comes out of my team that is global. You know, it's the product marketing for products or solutions or technology that are global in nature and then need to be adapted. So that's where I think we have some capability to use AI. You know, how do you take something that's written globally and make sure that it resonates with a customer in, you know, Latin America or the Middle East? Like, how do you pull examples, you know, maybe from the news? This is one of the things we explored with AI Olympics as well. Like, how do you extract news topics from a region that apply to our technology and use that to make our messaging more personalized and relevant for a customer in a certain market? So, you know, that that personalization, I think, is sort of the next frontier for us to do more of that, because, of course, for all of us as buyers as well, the more a message resonates with us and is personalized for our region, obviously our language, you know, the more receptive we'll be to it. So, you know, there's that side of it. The other part that, you know, factors into that is like this whole buying journey and being personalized is understanding the journey, not just the content, but the journey that a customer takes. And we're doing a lot more kind of customer journey analytics and using AI there as well to help personalize the journey that they take through our content. You know, if you're reading this and this and this, we feed up, you know, the next thing that makes sense based on their interest, just as we all see these days in the B2C world as well.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, it's great to hear. So let's bring the conversation full circle then. We were talking about, I guess, like kind of organization alignment, you know, organizational alignment, getting everyone in sort of board with the vision. How do you see AI in particular, or other technologies, not just AI, but any technology or AI in particular, assisting with kind of alignment and assisting with everyone kind of being on board with kind of what the vision of the company is and with your revenue goals? How do you see it sort of helping in that regard?
That's a good question. I would say, at least in my experience today, far more of that is about relationships than things that AI is directly helping with. I need to demonstrate in order to get alignment with my peers in my business group, as well as, you know, the broader organization. I need to demonstrate trust and good faith. I need to listen well to them. I need to articulate what we're doing in a transparent way so that they can hear it. So honestly, I see most of that alignment as being not AI driven. It's very personal. It's, you know, people working well together. Where I do see in a very tactical way that we're certainly using AI a lot is in meeting summaries, you know, like the meeting notes, like the transcript, you do a summary so that when there is a meeting to discuss something like this, you know, like how are we going to manage our overall communication strategy for a large corporate event or that kind of thing, where we're all saying, you know, these topics are important to us. We want to make sure this is part of the marketing message. You know, we talk through all of that. There's a transcript for it and you can use Gen AI to summarize meeting notes. So that's extremely tactical, but we are doing that kind of thing, of course. And that's always valuable because it's nice to have a record of what you have decided as a group so that you don't have, you know, like, oh, did we do this? Did we do this? So I think that, you know, that vision and alignment needs to be still largely human and personal. And people need to, you know, trust each other and build those relationships, and that AI is kind of tactical corner cases for that kind of thing right now, in my experience.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely think that what you were talking about, the meeting notes, the AI notes, everything, like, that's certainly not nothing. Because I mean, yeah. I've encountered that a lot. You know, that you ever been in meetings, you must have had it where you know, you discuss something potentially important and you have follow-up actions and you say, like, great, okay, I'm gonna write this up when I finish the call and I'm gonna send them your way. And then of course somebody calls you immediately, and then you get another call and another call. And then by the time the day is through, you've forgotten what the follow-up actions were. So it definitely, I think that is definitely a handy tool, I think, in terms of, like, I guess speeding up you know, the kind of efficiency and sort of getting tasks done, making sure everyone understands what the main point of the meeting was, and also in providing with them, I guess, helping with people who weren't there as well,
That's true.
On different time zones and things like that. I think that's you know, I think as human beings, you know, we definitely should be bringing people in all the time, you know, and saying, like, this is what we talked about today, this is what it is. Yeah. But, you know, again, we forget, don't we?
Right.
But the machine, you know, it can't forget, you know, all that stuff is automatically stored and can be shared. So I definitely think I think the one that you highlighted about meeting notes is definitely an invaluable one. But I do agree with you that, yeah, you know, I think the culture of a company is created by people, not machines, ultimately.
Yes, and you made an excellent point about time zones with meetings. I mean, Nokia is a very global company. We operate in 130 countries. My organization is in 15 countries, which are, you know, very far-flung locations. So there's not a single time that's good for everybody to have meetings. So I think what you mentioned is really important. You know, not everyone can attend every meeting. And so using a tool like AI to generate a synopsis and the actions of a meeting at least creates more of an opportunity for people to feel included. And then, you know, we try and rotate what time zones we do things in, that kind of thing. But that's a real factor in a company of our size and global scale.
Yeah, it's definitely it's interesting, isn't it, how these things, these technological developments, they coalesce with the kind of necessities of the time, you know. So everyone's more scattered now. Everyone's communicating over devices and things like that. So I think, you know, these things definitely come around at the right time. Very often, you know, it's like, you know, we've definitely been able to, I think part of the reason why they've progressed at the speed that they have is partly because of necessity, because this is the working world, I think, now, is that, you know, your colleague might be, you know, on a different time zone, might be on the other side of the planet even or something, you know, it's a different world, certainly. Yeah. So that's great. Final question then, I'd love to know what you think, how you see the role of the CMO evolving in the future. Like, what do you think the role of the CMO is going to look like in 10, 20 years' time? What do you think? You can look in a crystal ball.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a great question. I mean, I feel like the role of the CMO needs to evolve towards more and more helping the business grow. I mean, every business needs to grow. There's more and more pressure on publicly traded companies always to grow. And CMOs are just very well placed to have that customer insight, to understand the product, and to kind of create that overall story that is what your target audience thinks of when they think of your brand. So I think CMOs have, you know, enormous potential to help the business continue to grow over time and are well suited for that. And, you know, I think AI will play a role in that as well. As we use AI for more efficiency in marketing, that frees up time for, you know, product marketers to really delve into differentiation and how do we make sure that we're really hitting the nail on the head, and for our customer advocacy teams to do all of the things that you described, and for our campaign teams to craft, you know, digital journeys that are very engaging and increasingly personalized and that kind of thing. So I think that AI is going to be a very good friend of marketing going forward for productivity, for insights, the vast amount of data that marketing organizations generate, you know, by using more AI on that data. Again, we can derive more customer insights and more tools to help help the business grow. So I think I love being a CMO. I'm really passionate about marketing. I think it's, again, a great combination of, you know, technical skills, creative skills. And I think it's exactly what our businesses need to foster growth going forward.
Thank you for tuning into this episode of CMO Convo. If you enjoyed this episode, leave us a rating and review on your preferred platform. Don't forget to tune in next week for another insightful conversation with a leading CMO.